Hey, Smatters.
Hey there, all you party people.
Oh. So.
How's your week been?
Not too great.
Yeah, it's been a rough week. Rough start of the new year.
Yeah, it has. But hopefully it's getting better, right?
It better.
It can't get any worse.
Don't say that.
So, you have sent me some interesting things this week.
Yeah, there's been some crazy crap going on, and it's like the first week of the new year. I mean, between aliens in Miami and naked people in Bass Pro. And
what?
Yeah, the guy that got naked and got in the fish tank. You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah. Just crazy stuff.
People are just a mess. And then the whole mall thing in Miami with the aliens. Like, we talked about that last week.
A little bit, yeah.
And I listened to several things about it and some of the encounters on, you know, from the people that were there.
I just don't see why there was that many cops there for teenagers fighting.
Well, they're saying it was fireworks, but here's the thing. I was talking to Ashlyn. And, y'all, when Ashlyn was little, we were at the mall, and you remember when the whole gunshot thing happened or whatever?
Yeah.
And, turned out it was like firecrackers or something, but the mall thought somebody was shooting up the, you know, the place. And, it was terrifying. It was like one of the worst experiences of my life because Ashlyn was in a different store than I was. She wanted to go look at something next to where I was. So it was.
She was still supervised.
Yeah, like she was still supervised, but it was terrifying because I was not with her and I was trying to get to her. Anyway, that doesn't have anything to do with it. But what I'm getting at is there were not that many police officers there when it happened. You know it?
Yeah.
I don't even remember a lot of police officers being there when it happened. But. Yeah, it's funny how this happens when Epstein's thing comes out, you know?
Yeah.
That's what kind of got me on it. But, you know, the kids actually got arrested.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. They got arrested and charged or something.
Or did they?
Yeah, that's what, it's very, a very weird story. And I don't know what I think about it. So, because we were going to do that tonight. And after the more I listened, I was just like, there's still not enough information to really tell anybody that y'all don't already know, probably. So, then I thought about doing.
Yeah, it's been very hush hush.
It has. And then I thought about doing.
And then.
A cryptid.
And then. And then. You gotta remember this movie.
Yes, I remember that movie. I thought about doing a cryptid, and when I started on it, I found a story that I had heard a few years ago that terrified me.
Oh, no.
But I could never find the story.
Oh.
But I came across it today. So, we are gonna do that story.
What story is it there, doll?
Well, it is.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you still mad at me?
Huh?
Are you still mad at me?
You aggravate me a lot tonight. so much. no, this is just. Sorry, there was something stuck in my tooth. A scary story that I had heard.
Hurry up, shrimp.
And I was trying so hard to find it, and then I just forgot about it. Well, then I heard it again today, and I was like, that's the story that I just love, and it's so scary. Well, they had it linked in their notes, and I found it. And I wanted to share it with you guys because it stuck with me. It's creepy. It's terrifying. And I wanted to share it. So
what is it?
Huh?
What is it?
It is called A Nazi's goat man story.
A what?
A Nazi.
Like German Nazis?
No, that's somebody's name. But it's the goat man story. And oh my God, I am just obsessed with this. So let's go ahead and dive on in because it's a fairly long story, but the ending, oh my God, y'all.
Is it shocking?
It is. It really is. Kind of. I know when I was listening to it today, I got chills all over again listening to it. So let's start it. Here's my story. For starters, the kid is 16. And this is how he's written it out to begin with, and then it goes into the story. So he has it written out as green texting. So at the top it says be 16, and then it says be black and have family down in Alabama. They farm and own a huge amount of land down in Huntsville. Uncle owns a big house and a bunch of trailers they put out in the woods for hunting or camping. Down south cousins suggest that we go out there to camp. No, I'm a city kid from Chicago, so they tease me and fuck. So they tease the fuck out of me.
You just about said tease me and fuck me.
I was. Error.
Well, Alabama. I mean
Alabama.
Wow.
Collect food, kill a pig and some chickens, and bring necessities to camp out for a few days. We get to the camp, and it's obvious something is weird. Air has this weird electric smell, like right before a storm, like ozone. We think nothing of it and unpack and go down to a little creek to swim for a few hours. All of a sudden, some older white guy and a white teenager come out of the bushes. This is off to a bad start, isn't it? Alabama, am I right?
Hey, boy.
You sure do got a pretty mouth. he has a shotgun in the crook of his arm and says hello and asks us what we're doing this far back in the woods. I tell him about my uncle, who he knows, and I tell him we're camping out. He tells us we need to be real careful out here and stick together. There was a big animal in the woods. His son, who is my age, asks if he can stay and hang out with us, and he says okay. So I'm going to stop green texting because the story is fairly long and the format is harder to write in. So here's the story. We end up playing football. Dicking around with me, there's the white kid Tanner, five of my cousins, and then four of their friends. In total, there were five girls and six boys. Now, they count a lot, so keep the number in mind while we're reading this. We all were around 15 to 17 years old. We ended up just sticking the day away, so we head back to the camp and pulling out some stuff for a campfire, even though the trailers both had kitchenettes. Tanner says that his family's property sits up against my uncle's. He wants to run home and ask his dad if he can come out camping with us. My cousin Rooster says he's going to go with him since it's going to get dark soon. And one of the girls also wants to tag along. It's about 7 o'clock, and it's starting to get pretty dark. They take flashlights and take the trail toward Tan's property. The rest of us chill. We make s'mores, drink, and even kiss on the girls. About 30 or 40 minutes later, there's a smell of ozone again. You could smell it over the smell of the fire we had started. This real nasty, coppery smell, like right after you've had a nosebleed and it stopped. It wasn't exactly like dried blood, but it was that nasty, metallic, back-of-your-throat smell. We immediately think that it's some kind of electrical malfunction, or someone had left a hot plate on or something like that. We search the trailers and nothing is on, and we can all smell it. All of a sudden, we can hear people booking down the path towards us, and Rooster and Tan and the girl all come running into the clearing out of breath. They don't ever break stride. they all run straight into the trailer right by where the fire is. We all get the fuck out of there and into the trailers. They end up calming down. Even Rooster is crying. All the while, the fire is guttering lower and lower. So my other cousin says, fuck it, and are about to go outside to get the generator out of the shed between the trailers. Tanner goes, fuck no. Lock the door.
Damn, some language.
They cuss a lot in this, you guys. I'm sorry. It's not me. It's just how the story's written. Ain't nobody else going outside. He's been crying too. And his eyes are bloodshot and puffy. And his pants are dirty as shit. He goes on to tell us that they went up to his house. And his father said, sure, he could go out camping. But to make sure they were careful on the way back. And that maybe they should take one of the hunting rifles just in case. Evidently, Tanner had seen something in their yard a few days before. One of their pigs had come up, ripped up, and half-eaten. They assumed it was just some big cats or coyotes, even though they don't usually fuck with live animals. He had gone upstairs and packed his stuff and told his dad they would be okay without the rifle because coyotes like to avoid people. So they started walking back towards where we were camping. Rooster finally stops crying and shaking. The girl already had, but she was just staring at the window with a dumb look on her face. He says they had gotten halfway into the woods toward the camp when they started to hear shit in the forest. It was almost pitch black by this time, so they weren't sure at first what the fuck it was. The girl says that she heard something in the bushes right off the trail, and they all beamed their flashlights over there, and there was something standing back in the woods in a little hollow. Rooster said they shouted at him and told him that he was scaring the fuck out of them and what a dick he was. He says that's when they realized the guy was facing away from them. So they keep walking, and they start smelling that nasty coppery ozone smell. They say that they look off into the forest on the opposite side, and it's a dude standing in the forest, backwards, slightly closer to the path. So now they start power walking, and Tanner keeps going, I should have taken the fucking rifle. As they're telling the story, the smell is still super strong, even inside the cabin. They say that after they started walking faster, a kind of low gibbering had started coming from both sides of the wood. And as they started booking it back to the trailer, the girl said she had her flashlight out in the woods to the side of them and had seen something running itself through the woods. The gibbering just got louder and louder, and when they could see the light from our campfire, something had come out of the woods about 40 yards behind them on the track, and they had just flat out ran as hard as they could to the trailer. So we're out in the fucking woods, and we're assuming at this point it's some redneck or some shit trying to fuck with us. All of a sudden, my other cousin, Junior, starts going on about how he went to school with a native kid that was telling him about the goat man or some shit. We promptly tell him to shut the fuck up because we don't need any spooky talk right now. We don't need any spooky talk right now.
None.
But he just keeps going on and on about how it's the fucking goat man and how we're in his woods and blah, blah, blah. Now, at that time, I'd never heard of this goat man or any of that, but then a couple of years ago, the year before I graduated from college, I had a menom for a roommate, and I ended up asking him about it. And to sum it up, it's basically a fucking man with the head of a goat, and he can shapeshift, and he gets among groups of people to terrorize them. It's also supposed to be kind of like the Wendigo, and it's bad mojo to even talk about it, and even worse if you see it. Keep in mind, I didn't know this back when I was 16. So my cousin is going, the goat man's going to get in and fucking get us. The girls are all terrified, and my cousins and I are all fucking trying to figure out if it's some hillbillies or if it's the animal. So all of a sudden, the smell just goes away. Like to this day, I haven't even experienced anything like it. Like usually smells fade away or lessen. It just literally was there 1 second and then not the next second. So it's after an hour, making it around 9 or 10. We've stopped shitting bricks enough to go back outside and stoke the fire again. We figure it was just some assholes trying to fuck with us, so we don't go back home. Because if we think If we do, they'll chase us through the woods or some crazy shit like that. Nothing else weird happens that night, and we stay another night, and for the main part of the night, nothing happens. At about 1 in the morning, we're outside getting drunk and telling ghost stories. As someone is finishing some spooky story, I don't remember what about, the smell comes back. It's so fucking strong that one of the girls literally starts vomiting. I stand up, and you can actually feel how clammy the air is. I say we should get back inside. This isn't right. We should have just fucking left. We all go back inside, and we're standing around. My cousin just keeps going on about how it's the goat man, and my cousin Rooster tries to shut him the fuck up. And all the while, I'm just feeling something is wrong, and I can't figure out what the fuck it is. We end up sitting there for a while. The smell is just as strong, and we're all terrified and all huddled in the camper. We end up cooking brats for everybody because nobody wants to go outside. It's one of those packs with 4 brats. We have a total of 3 packs. I grill them up on the stove and give everybody a hot dog. I get mine. And after a while, one of my cousins gets up and goes over to the pot to get another one. He starts grumbling about how I get 2 brats and everybody else only got 1. And I look at him like he's fucking stupid. I tell him that everybody only got 1 because there were only 12. If he wants more, he should open up a new pack and cook some more. And that's when the girl that had been out with Rooster and Tan just starts screaming. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Get out. She's crying and shivering. And then it dawns on the cousin standing up. What the fuck is wrong? Me and him both glance around the room. And then I feel my heart fucking sink. I run the fuck out of the cabin and the girl runs out with us. The trailer door is banging against the side of the trailer as everybody books it out of the cabin. One of my cousin's friends asks us what was wrong, and I start counting us. There's only 11 of us now. There were 12 bratwursts and they were all gone.
Oh.
So, and everybody got 1. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I shit you not, my cousin verified. There had been 12 people in the cabin, but being that everybody didn't really know each other well, nobody had really noticed the whole fucking time that there was an extra person. And then I realized earlier that I had kind of noticed something was off. You know how when you're just sticking around having a good time that you don't sweat the small shit and you don't always keep track of certain stuff? I'm dead sure that someone else had been in that trailer with us, that they had been there for at least a fucking day, eating with us. And what makes it worse is I could figure out which one because I don't think anyone ever actually interacted with the other person, the goat man. The girl kept praying to Jesus, and we're all sitting outside. Eventually, we get big ass sticks and go back in the cabin, but there's nobody in there. We count again. There's 11 people. We go back into the trailer and lock the door. We explain what the fuck happened, and the girl says that she realized too, and then when he was about to say something, the person sitting next to her grabbed her leg hard and leaned over toward her and said something she couldn't understand. So we were pretty much scared as fuck as we huddle together, and I fall asleep. When I wake up, the sun is just coming up, and half the people are asleep, and the other half are packing our shit up. We all want to go back home, but like 4 people want to stay until the sun is all the way up, and some people think that we're just fucking around and still want to stay at the trailers. I just want to get the fuck out of the woods. The girl's name was Kira, the one that the goat man had touched. Anyway, I asked her if she really thinks it was something bad. And she says she just wants to go home and she doesn't want to be out in the woods alone for another night. So, we decided to split up. Which, pause. Split up.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ever work?
Mm-mm.
No, never. The 4 that want to go on, go. But I have to stay because I have the keys to the cabin and it's my uncle's and I have to lock up. I'm super pissed at this point because I feel like people aren't taking this shit seriously. and I definitely didn't want to be out in the woods for another night. I spent the rest of the day trying to convince the rest of the people, now 4 girls and 4 guys, to get the fuck out of Dodge. Tanner leaves with them to go get a rifle and says he's going to be back. So there are just 7 of us left by 4 p.m. At around 5, he hasn't made it back yet, and we're getting extremely fucking antsy. And the only reason I stopped begging them to go back was because he went to get a gun. It's about 5:30 p.m. or so when the one cousin that did stay says that the girl Kira is outside. We all look outside, and sure enough, she's standing by the fire pit with her back towards the cabin. I'm thinking to myself, if she's so fucking scared, why the hell would she come back? And then I get this nasty feeling in my gut. Keep in mind, the whole time, the coppery smell has been gone. And now I realize I can smell a twinge of it. I say this to the rest of them and everybody, and these are the people that wanted to stay in the fucking woods after we had gotten the goat man in our midst, is laughing at me and asking if I set this up to scare them. I'm looking at them like I'm not fucking bullshitting you at all right now. I asked them why I would want to play like that. So one of the girls goes outside to get Kira. She gets halfway to her and stops cold. Kira starts heaving. I don't know how the fuck to describe it. Sort of like if someone with their back turned was laughing without actually making any sound. It was this fact that made me realize there was not a fucking sound in the whole woods. It was dead silent. This was like later in September, so it was still fairly hot at the time. But it was super chilly some days too. And you could usually hear big ass geese honking or some kind of birds or squirrels chit chatting. So I step out the door and tell her to come back in the fucking trailer right now. She backs up into the trailer and we lock the door. We pull down the shades except one and put a guy there in a chair to watch her. She stands there for another 20 minutes or so. The guy turns to say she's still there and there's a huge bang at the door. We all jump the fuck up and scramble around the living room of the trailer. The banging is so loud. So now my cousin is holding one of the girls and the other two are kind of giggling with nervous laughter. And me and the other two guys are shitting bricks. Then we hear Tanner. He's screaming, "Let me the fuck in. Stop fucking playing." So we go over to the door and open it. And he stumbles in with a rifle. There's nobody else outside. Evidently, he had walked up to the campsite. Nothing weird happened in the forest, but he had seen a girl. Mind you, he said it was not Kira standing there. When he had gotten to the edge of the clearing, she had turned toward him with the slack-jawed look that just stared him down, slowly tracking him as she walked around the outside of the clearing towards the camp. He said it wasn't till he was almost halfway to the trailer that he realized she was getting closer to him. She had started off by the fire, and without him even seeing her move, she had been turning and inching closer. He said he just ran the rest of the way back to the cabin, thinking it would open, and when he got to the door, it was locked. He turned, and it was about half the distance to the door. He looked around the room, and then gets super pale. He pulls me to the side and whispered in my ear, "You know there are only 7 of us in here, right?" I get that feeling where your stomach drops. It had been back inside the trailer while we were sorting out who was going where. And then when we all went outside to talk earlier in the day, it just slipped right back in. Do you have chills?
Mm-hmm.
I do too. I'm like dying right now. We looked out the window and there's nobody out there. So we recount everyone and then basically I go over and ask everyone how many people were here earlier. And everybody says 8. I say, "Well, how many are here now?" They all do the count and then realize there are only now 7 people in the cabin. So Tam brought a back So Tanner brought back a couple boxes of ammo and his rifle. And he had told his dad that there was some kind of animal in the forest because he didn't think his dad would believe him if he said it was the goat man. He says that his cousin is supposed to be coming down in a few hours. And then in the morning, we can all go back to his place and his cousin will drop us home. Now I'm really fucking terrified. But at least feel better because we can be American and shoot the fuck out of whatever it is if it comes back. But then my cousin gets into his huge argument with one of the girls because she thinks that I'm trying to be funny and prank them and that she's getting really scared and that I'm not funny. He keeps telling her I'm not that kind of person and she says, well, how do we know the girl wasn't just Tanner in a wig or if it's really the goat man? How do we know that this is the real Tanner and that the goat man didn't just kill Tanner in the woods and take his gun? So we fucking get into a huge argument about this, where me and Tanner are like, we could seriously be in danger because at the very least, someone has been sneaking themselves into our fucking trailer without us knowing and mingling with us. And at worst, something bad is in the forest fucking with us. One of the girls is crying and saying she wants to go right now. And we're trying to tell her we shouldn't because none of us are walking through the woods in the middle of the night. At this point, the sun is starting to go down. And it's getting a little cloudy out. We eat something and turn on the radio for a while, but we can't really get a station out there with anything decent. So we turn it off at about the time that's when Tanner's cousin shows up. He was like 19, I think. And at this point, the sun is barely over the horizon and he has one of those heavy duty lantern flashlights and another rifle. He walks up to the trailer and we whisper to Tanner, asking if he's sure that it's his cousin. And he says yes. The guy looks behind him and all around the camp, and then he walks in. He kind of glances at all of us and looks a little confused. He says, where's your little buddy at? I figured she would meet me up at the cabin. Is she a little slow or something? He also asks whether he had been cooking blood in the cabin, because it smelled like blood and hot pans all the way up the trail. We are all like, nope, but we ask him what the fuck he's talking about with the girl he saw. He had come down the same trail Tanner had been using, and he had come up on one of Yu's guys' buddies, standing in the middle of the trail, looking at him, slack-jawed. He had asked her a bunch of questions, but all she did was just look at him, and then she smiled at him. And he said he kept walking. She couldn't seem to keep up with him and kept lagging a little behind him. He said he asked her if she was hurt or something, if she needed any help, but she had continued to stare. Eventually, she had been walking and turned around a bend in the trail. But when he turned around and went back to see if she was okay, the trail was empty. He assumed she had taken a shortcut through the woods to our trailer. We tell him the whole story of what's been going on. I half expected him to say we were full of shit, but he just listened and then sat down on the couches in the living room. Tanner's cousin gets back to the girl. He says when she had kept trying to lag behind him, it had kind of weirded him the fuck out, so he tried to keep her in front of him. But no matter how slow he walked, she was always lagging a little behind. And that he smelled this nasty smell and it got stronger as he got to the camp. Eventually, it got really strong. She had said something really low that he didn't catch. And when he had turned around, she had been right the fuck up on him. And he stepped back from her. It was at this point he asked her if she was okay. And if she wasn't, him to carry her back to the rest of the way. And she just kept staring. He said he reached out for her, as in to grab her shoulder, but he must have misjudged the distance because she was off to the side of where he had put his hand, like she had moved while he was looking dead at her. So at this point, we know this shit's real, unless Tanner's playing a joke, which we can tell he's not because he's almost pissing his pants. So they load up their rifles, and we eat some more, and we just kind of sit around until about 11. To this fucking day, every time I think about this, I really pray to God that it's some huge prank that my cousins played on me and just never revealed so I would shit for the rest of my life. At around 11, the stink of copper turns into an actual nasty, gross, blood-like smell, like cooking blood and singed hair. Tanner and his cousin Reese get the fuck up instantly and grab rifles. There's like a half-knocking, half-clawing at the door, and I shit you not, there's this voice, and it sounds like when you see those YouTube cats and dogs whose owners teach them how to talk, and it says in this halting, weirdly toned voice, "Let me the fuck in. Stop fucking playing." One of the girls starts crying and starts calling on Jesus. It was so fucking obviously not a person talking. It didn't have the right cadence. And it's some shit that I never realized until that moment. But all people have a certain cadence when they talk, no matter what language. All people have a certain rhythm of talking. This shit didn't have any kind of cadence or rhythm. One of those YouTube cats. That's what the fuck it sounded like outside the door. So now I'm in full terror mode. And we keep yelling outside, "Who is it? Stop fucking around." And it just keeps saying "in" or "let me the fuck in" for almost 15 minutes straight. It sounded like this there's a link you can hit to see what it sounds like. Let's see what it sounds like. That's what the voice sounded like. It was like, "Let me in." Okay. Back to this. Oh. Back to the story. It sounded like that almost, just not funny. Sorry for being on a tangent, but if you can't imagine how this shit sounded, then you can't imagine how fucked up the whole situation was. So then the smell goes away for a while. For the next hour or so, you can hear someone basically creeping around in the woods. Every couple minutes, it'll come back into the door and say something. And finally, when the smell fades away, it's around 2 a.m. Reese says, "Fuck this," and opens the door and walks outside with his rifle. He fires a shot into the air and says something to the effect, "In the name of Jesus Christ, go away." He fires 2 more times, and then from the woods, right up against the river across from the trailer, it sounds like something is slowly gibbering and hooting. Then it starts screaming, and it sounds almost like a woman and a cat in a bag screaming together. Like, I seriously have never heard any shit like that. And you can hear the brush over that way start to shake. Reese fires over in the tree line and then starts backing into the house. We lock the door, and we can hear the shit keening and screaming. Reese says something that had come out of the bushes, super low to the ground and crawling toward the cabin. He had shot at it. Pretty much, that was how the rest of the night went. It was literally screaming constantly for the next 2 hours. We could hear shit moving out into the tree line, but it never came back up to the cabin until everyone finally fell asleep. Tanner had been sitting in the chair watching the door with his rifle. Nobody else heard or saw this, and he told me 2 days later after the whole thing was over. He said he had been nodding off after the screaming and noises finally stopped, and he had been almost asleep when he saw someone come out of the bathroom and then lay down in the middle of the floor and go to sleep. He just assumed it was one of us, and he had nodded off. And then he said he kind of realized something was wrong, and while pretending to be asleep, he counted. There were 9 people in the cabin. He basically didn't want to try to shoot at the fucking thing in the cabin and have it kill us all and then be there, have Reese wake up and start shooting, and then we kill ourselves. So he just stayed awake all night, pretending to be asleep. He said sometimes it would stand up and kind of do this weird jittery thing or heave like it was laughing, but then it would lay back down. Now the story closes pretty weak, because from my perspective, nothing happened. We woke up, and I noticed that Tanner was a little jittery, and that he was avoiding looking at all of us. But we ate some breakfast, packed up, and started walking to his house. He stayed last in the cabin and said he'd lock up and bring me my uncle's keys to just start walking and he'd catch up, which I didn't really want to fucking do. We got a little bit up the path, and when he came running up, basically, we just jogged back to his house. His cousin took us home. There was a window in the bathroom. Tanner had gone back to lock up and looked in there. We were too stupid to lock a screenless window. The window was fucking up when he went in there. I'm guessing it had been doing that all along, waiting for us to fall asleep or slip up, and then it would get in among us. It walked out with us on the way back to our house. It walked, and then he said it lagged to the back of the group, and when Tanner turned around, it looked him dead in his eyes before turning around and walking back into the woods.
Damn.
And that's the Goat Man. I have full body chills. And I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, I skipped a lot of fucks in that story. Okay? So, oh my gosh. Y'all, I hope y'all enjoyed that story as much as I did. Because
spooky.
It creeps me out every time. The whole time. Every time they smelled that ozone blood smell was when it was near them. So they'd smell it and it was probably standing right next to them in their safe space. You know it? And oh my gosh, it just gives me chills. And then the end when he's like, the bathroom window was open the whole time. We never checked the window. It was crawling in and out the whole entire time. And I don't know if y'all caught it because it took me a minute to catch it. But the girl that it touched her leg or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
She said it touched her leg inside and whispered something to her, but she couldn't understand. That was Kira. And then they saw Kira standing outside with her back towards them. So from my understanding, and y'all may have taken it a different way, but this is how I took it. I took it as it being a skinwalker and whoever it touched, it could take that form. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I kind of took it. But I'm so glad I finally got to share that story with you guys. Because, y'all, I'm not kidding. I was at work when I was listening to this story. And I, oh my God, I remember, like, I was so into it. I was, like, walking. And one of my coworkers jumped in front of me and was like, hey, like just saying hi. And I screamed. I almost hit the ceiling because it scared me so bad. This story just gets me because when you're in a group of people that you barely know, do you really pay attention who's there and who's not?
I don't know. I'm not around a bunch of people like that anymore.
I know, but these are kids, like 16-year-old kids. Like, that one boy that was with his dad was like, do y'all care if I come hang out with y'all? You know, they didn't know him. So, and then like his cousin comes and then somebody else's cousin comes and they don't know each other. It's just a bunch of kids hanging out, camping out, having fun, being 16 and not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that is scary, y'all. So,
be aware of your surroundings.
Be aware. Now, that there are other stories of the Goat Man. I just really wanted to read y'all that story because it's so scary. We will eventually get to the Goat Man, the theories of how he turned into the Goat Man. Some people think he is a demon because, you know, of Baphomet, how he walks upright and has, you know, the horns and all that.
What?
You are so loud.
I'm not loud.
I'm terrible at basketball.
I'd wipe your ass on the court.
But yeah, we will definitely go over the Goat Man of Maryland. And that's a crazy, crazy story. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. If anything, I hope it taught you to be aware of your surroundings and the people you were with, and always get a head count.
Always.
Always. So, I hope you guys enjoyed it. We will see you guys next Sunday. Layer up, friends. It's about to get so cold.
Yeah, the Arctic chill is on its way.
Absolutely. Drink lots of water and make good choices.
But if they're bad choices, make sure it's fun.
And record it. Bye, y'all.
Bye.